So, Laura, if we can switch over to this, that would be great. Thank you very much. So, my first question to you this morning is, what is it that refreshes you? What is it that energizes you? So just turn to somebody near you and just tell them the answer to that question. What refreshes or energizes you? Particularly appropriate if you had a late night at the ball last night, of course. So just draw those conversations to a close. You can carry them on afterwards over coffee. And we're going to have our second reading now, and Rosemary is going to come and bring that for us. Thank you, Rosemary. Well, I wonder how you feel about reading the Bible. I don't know if we're able to switch back to the slides at the front. That's great. Thank you. How do you feel about reading the Bible? For some of us here this morning, it will feel pretty daunting. Where do I start? How do I understand some of the things that I'm reading? Maybe some others of us have experienced that sentiment that we just heard from the psalm of it being sweeter than honey, reviving the soul, a source of wisdom and illumination. And some of us will have experienced both those things at different times, and maybe even sometimes together. Well, this morning I'm going to look at the Bible, what it says itself about what it is and why we read it. And then we're going to come back in the second part of the talk to think a bit about how we do that practically. The crown jewels, which are kept under guard in the Tower of London, are almost literally priceless, estimated to be worth billions of pounds. And yet, according to the words spoken to the Queen at her coronation, she owns something infinitely more precious. During that service, she was presented with a Bible with these words. "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that the world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." The most valuable thing that the world affords. Have you ever thought of the Bible in those terms before? And what makes it so valuable? The fact that it is the lively oracles of God, or in modern English, the living words of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this: "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." We heard Peter say something very similar in our first reading. Those verses from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is what we mean when we talk about the Bible being inspired, the inspiration of Scripture. We don't mean it in the general sense that we do when we talk about a poet or a writer or a musician today being inspired. We mean, much more specifically, that God has spoken his words to us in the Bible. So on the one hand, the Bible is made up of 66 books of different genres, written down by different human authors in different times and different places. That's why Bible study is so important. That's why we need the help of academics who make it their business to study the Bible. We need to understand something of the settings and the times in which God has given his words to us. Like any other book, we have to read it carefully and in context in order to understand its meaning. But on the other hand, the church holds to the fact that behind these human authors, there is a single unifying author, God himself, and a single unifying theme. There's an overarching biblical narrative, a storyline to the whole Bible. It doesn't exist just as those individual parts, but as a united whole. And as a united whole, it is the Word of God. That's why when we read from the Bible in church, the reader says, "This is the word of the Lord," and we respond, "Thanks be to God." When we read the Bible, we are reading a book unlike any other book. Listen to these words from John Stott, who summarizes. Our claim, then, is that God has revealed himself by speaking, that this divine, God-breathed speech has been written down and preserved in Scripture, and that Scripture is, in fact, God's word written, which therefore is true and reliable and has divine authority over us. So the Bible is God's written word. And because of that, it is unlike any other written word. It's living and active, according to Hebrews chapter 4. But what does that mean? It means that God hasn't just spoken through his word, but he acts through it. In the Bible, we see that God speaking and acting are the same thing. When God says, "Let there be light," in Genesis, it happens. Whereas if we want to say, "Let there be more light in this room," we need to do something. Go and put on a light switch or light a candle. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." To say that God's word has gone out to do something is to say that God himself has gone out to do something. So God's words then are in fact his personal, active presence. We don't just read the Bible then to learn about God. We read the Bible in order to meet with God himself, to hear him speaking to us. Listen to another quote, this time from Tim Keller. God acts through his words. The word is alive and active. And therefore, the way to have God dynamically active through our lives is through the Bible. To understand the scripture is not simply to get information about God. If attended to with trust and faith, the Bible is the way to actually hear God speaking and also to meet God himself. How awesome is that? When we talk about the Word of God, we're usually referring to the Bible. But Jesus himself is also referred to as the Word in the Bible, in John's Gospel. And that's because God's revelation of himself, his communication with the world, happens supremely through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. God acts by means of his word. By describing Jesus as God's word, John is pointing to Jesus' identity. Jesus Christ is the word of God because no fuller or more intimate communication of God himself is possible. We know God through Jesus, and we meet Jesus through God's word, the Bible. The overarching theme of the Bible as a whole is God's saving purpose for the whole world through Jesus Christ. And the Bible is therefore able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus, as we heard Paul put it earlier on to Timothy. Well, that is just a few reasons why the Bible is the most valuable thing, the most precious thing that the world affords, the most valuable thing you can have. But it's also why its value comes through use. We're going to come on to the how, things that can help us to read it for ourselves in the next part of this talk. But the Bible is the way we can experience God's dynamic activity in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. The primary way we meet with him and hear him speaking to us. There are lots of books that inform us, but the Bible doesn't just inform us. It alone also transforms us. Jonathan Edwards in the 19th century described it like this: I had then, and at other times, the greatest delight in the Holy Scriptures of any book whatsoever. Often in reading it, every word seemed to touch my heart. I felt a harmony between something in my heart and those sweet and powerful words. I seemed often to see so much light exhibited by every sentence, and such a refreshing food communicated. Banish any thoughts that the Bible is just a boring library, and think instead of picking up the phone, of discovering God on the line. God is speaking. That is the reality that we experience as we come to the Bible. That's the evidence of the Bible itself, and it's the testimony of millions of Christians throughout the ages, as well as us here today. So if the Bible is the most valuable thing that this world affords, if we meet the life-giving, saving word of God, Jesus Christ, through his written word in the Bible, how do we do that in practice? Well, the first point is obviously obvious. We have to begin by reading it, don't we? Maybe we already know all the reasons for reading the Bible, but in reality, we still struggle with the motivation to do it. It's true for all of us at different times. We need to ask for God's help, for that motivation, that desire to know him more. And at different times and stages of life, we'll find different ways and patterns and frequency of Bible reading necessary or appropriate. We each have to find a pattern that works for us, with our personality and with our circumstances. We have to work out as well how to prioritise that at different times in our life. It's good to read the Bible daily, but it's not good to be put off reading it at all because you don't manage that. Well, there are loads and loads of different resources out there to help us practically. Bible reading notes, they give you a passage to read and a few thoughts to help you to understand and apply it. You can get the Bible on your phone or on your computer, in text or in audio form. You might find it easier to listen to sometimes than to read it. You can sign up for daily emails of Bible passages or notes. And you can download an app for daily notes on your phone. If you're thinking about those things and you want to try any of them, then try the Good Book Company site or Scripture Union, both of which have lots of resources. And if you'd like to know more, then send me an email and I'll happily send you any suggestions. Or the same applies if you've got specific questions about the Bible that we haven't had time to cover this morning. You might want to read the Bible with somebody else in order to help you. You might agree that you'll both read the same thing at the same time so that you can encourage one another and talk about how you're getting on. We can help one another with this. It's part of learning and growing together as God's family. And our home Bible study groups are one of the important ways that we do that here at St. Michael's. If you're not part of one already and you'd like to join one, then chat to Maggie or Sandy or myself and we'll point you in the right direction. Well, I could keep going, but since the combined experience of reading the Bible in this room is so much greater than mine alone, I'm going to finish by handing over to you and to anybody who would like to say something briefly in practice about their experience of reading the Bible and what they found helpful. So stick up a hand, and Sandy has a microphone so that we can all hear you. There we go, we've got some Yolanta at the back.
Is this working? Yes.
Well, my favourite part of the Bible is Songs of Solomon. And the reason I really love that is, to me, it shows how God loves us passionately, and it really speaks to me about love. And that's the part in the Bible for me that I really kind of connect with, where I feel his love for us. And it's, even though it's given through the example of the two people in the story, I just think it's beautiful language, and I think it, to me, it really sings of what I feel from God, that passion and love for us all.
Thank you. Maggie, I know, was going to... There we go.
I'm currently reading Luke's Gospel. I'm just doing it in my own terms, doing what I want to do, but working my way through it, and I'm finding it powerfully uplifting. But I'm extraordinarily privileged. I have a Bible with Jesus' words in red. When I open the Bible, they pop out, and I think, am I a lucky girl to have the red words in front of me? It's brilliant.
Tian Hao, I don't know if I can get to you.
I love to read the Bible, and I read it every morning, and then I have daily prayer in the morning. I found it's very uplifting. And another thing I did, and I, because the Bible really covers everything in our life, so when I read the Bible last year, I work on the computer, and I made a little booklet for myself and for my family, for my friends, called Golden Passage. And I divided, I formatted into 8 chapters, and so in different circumstances of our life, and different mood, different need, for example, like drug, alcoholic, and unemployment, sadness, or grief. And so I made 8 chapters, and just, all from Bible is authentic from what God said, but I put into different chapters. And so through this process, I really, really learned how God loves us. Anything Bible said give us guidance. And then I share this with my family, with my friends, and they found the little booklet very useful. And through this process, I really, each time, I thought, oh, thank God, you're so powerful, you are so good, you gave me everything I need in my daily life.
Thanks, Tian Hao, that's great. Anybody else?
Rachel. Sorry. Two Rachels, both putting up their hands at the same time.
Two Rachels and then Olive.
Yeah, very long time ago when I was struggling in life and couldn't concentrate on reading the Bible, I actually listened to audio recordings on my Walkman. That's how long ago it was. I listened to all the Gospels, and it was very, very helpful and encouraging.
Thank you, that's great.
Thank you. Who did you say? Sorry, I've forgotten.
Other Rachel.
Other Rachel.
For me, anyone in my home group knows I'm kind of app crazy when it comes to reading the Bible. So I've got the Bible app on my phone, and that has like a daily verse that comes up that helps me focus back to God. And also I tend to read it in terms of what I'm feeling at the moment, you know, certain subjects such as like temptation, love, friendship, anything I'm kind of like that, I focus in. And then if you type into Google any of those things related to the Bible and things, it can come up with loads of helpful links of particular verses in the Bible that relate to what you're feeling at the time. So I find that really useful.
That's great, thank you. And Carolyn, who's not here this morning, actually sent me an email that said she finds the Explore app really helpful. So if you're looking for Bible study notes, try the Explore app. She downloads a study which comes with all the necessary Bible readings, and she can take it at her own pace. A great advantage is that it's so portable, can easily take it on journeys or take it away with me if I'm on holiday. And she also receives emails from Premier Christian Radio with a verse and a thought each weekday. So it's another example of an app and email use.
Well, Lynn. I'm slightly more old-fashioned.
Good for you.
I use Every Day with Jesus, and it was originally written by a man who's now dead. But the amazing thing is that I can look at that daily, and he will cover certain things that happen to be on my mind, and it is just, I mean, it's God incidents, because I will read the Bible, I will go to home group and we'll be studying something similar. I come here on a Sunday, and blow me if Sandy's not also on the same subject. So, but I do recommend Every Day with Jesus for anybody who doesn't want to enter the 21st century.
I think of myself as app crazy too, as you know. Charles, I don't know how much time we've got.
Well, just a few words to say. Personally, my grandmother introduced the Bible to me, and since that time it has been my watchword and guide through storms, tempests, and believe you me, I've been through the mill and back. But that book, you know, we are to find help in times of need in the Psalms and many, many more. You know, Isaiah 55, you know, tells you that you can come buy wine without mourning, you know, where you could spend your money, you know. But what I'll leave you is this few words: Holy Bible, book divine, treasure, treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am.
Thanks, Charles. Olive.
I see the Bible as the compass of life that navigates me, I would say, and I signpost family and friends to the Bible, because the Bible holds the answer to challenges of life, definitely. We can't live life without its challenges, but the answer lies in the Bible, every aspect of the Bible. So it's actually the living word of God. It ministers to me. And in the mornings, I have something on the side of my bed that says, begin each day with God. So you can never go wrong, and I've never gone wrong by doing that. I like my favorite verse or, you know, chapter in the Bible, Romans 8:28, and I also, when I talk to people, inspire people, I always say that to them. Romans 8:28, God causes all things for a purpose. There's a purpose for our life. There's a reason we are here. So ability to understand that in everything, give thanks. So the Bible is, you just can't emphasize or overemphasize the advantages of the Bible or what the Bible teaches us.
That's great. Thank you, Oliver.
And just to say quickly, it's sometimes we feel that there's no point, reading the Bible because we want the answers to life immediately. But the Bible ministers to my soul.
Thank you. Right, last one. I saw Christian put her hand up, so you can have the final word.
I didn't want to do this because I hate talking with a microphone. But anyway.
Well done.
I just wanted to say there are probably some people like me who have a really nice, clean-edged Bible just nicely sat on their shelf that is fun to look at and you might not actually take down. But if you are like me and you have one of those kind of Bibles that doesn't get used very often, join a home group because it's very, very useful. And it's amazing how you can be with people that you see in the church, but then you actually get to meet them and know them and you're speaking about the same things and you're learning. So being part of a home group is amazing to just take the Bible off yourself and go and meet some people and read the book.
Great, thank you.
Fantastic. I didn't pay her, honest, but what a great way to finish. Let's just pray as we finish. Lord, we do pray that you would incline our hearts to your word, that you'd give us an ever greater desire for it, and open our eyes to see the wonder and glory of you in it. Satisfy our hearts with a vision of yourself and your way for our lives. Amen.